Blog Talk Radio.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this
all right, and welcome to the third edition of HIAC After Midnight. I am, of course, the host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. Well, normally I say this on Wednesdays, but I'm going to say it tonight. With me, as always, is the above-average comedian in a shocking surprise twist of events, Dan the Man Colachico. How are you, Dan?
Good evening, everybody. I am actually very happy to be here after midnight, and you can follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83 and Obey Puck Show.
Yes, yes, Obey Puck Show.
I'm honored you asked me.
Well, you know, Dan, it was either that or play an old interview.
That, the interview you told me about was actually very entertaining, but I'm glad you decided to ask me.
It's now loaded in there as emergency interview. So if you ever need that on Obey Puck Show, feel free.
I will air it.
You'll probably confuse people with it.
What? What is this?
This has nothing whatsoever to do with hockey.
Yes, but you can't air anything hockey because all the leagues copyright their craps, and they'll come after you faster than a wrestling company.
Fair use, Dan. Learn it. Love it.
Fair use?
As long as you were giving commentary to it, if you were giving commentary to certain things, if you were making if you were doing it for news or to make, like I said, commentary on it.
Okay.
Yes.
That just opened up a whole door on that
show.
Yes,
they can't touch you.
Oh, I love you, man. That's good.
They cannot touch you. Why do you think WWE would go after me if that were the case?
I'm waiting for the... I'm kind of hoping one day we get a cease and desist just so we can hit some news.
Well, you can't use a Hell in a Cell.
Well, that's why it's HIAC, but that's neither here nor there.
Let's get to the meat and bones, brother.
Yes, the meat and bones? I thought it was meat and potatoes, Dan. I don't know.
I was thinking body, actually. Not
you know what? Tonight, Dan, we're going to talk about this whole Duck Dynasty thing. And our take on it. Because, frankly, I don't give a duck.
Thank you for saying that.
I don't, Dan. I don't.
I really don't. I don't care.
But we're gonna figure out, or at least attempt to, as only we can, what this is all about. This controversy. Why people are sticking with them. Why people are against them. What exactly is going on? And I dug up a sermon that this man gave in 2010, Dan, and I will air a clip of that. And perhaps this will make things a little more crystal clear for people. We're also going to talk about tonight, Dan, Rob Ford, the embattled mayor of Toronto, because this man, he has done a lot of good for Toronto, Dan.
I guess. Yeah.
He's turned things around.
You're right.
Lowered the unemployment rates. He's done a lot of good for that town, created business. However, he is a bit...
drug addict.
He doesn't think he is, Dan. He has in the past used crack cocaine. He's not addicted to it. He does not have a drinking problem, although he does go on drunken stupors. This is not for me or you to decide, Dan. I am not the judge of any man. And I'd also like to welcome a new sponsor to the fold, Dan.
Yes,
of course. I'll explain this after we air it. But, yes, HIAC, the network, has a new sponsor.
Hi, I'm Dean Dixon, the host of HIAC Talk Radio. Are you sitting there listening to one of our many great podcasts? Because your hiney suddenly hurt from listening oh so long. Try Boudreaux's butt paste. Your crack is in good hands.
Yes, Boudreaux's butt paste joins the list of sponsors for HIAC Talk Radio. No further explanation is...
It's the music, man.
It really is.
It's not the so much the butt paste in your delivery. It's the...
I think it's worth another...
Let's do it again. Go ahead.
I'm Dean Dixon, the host of HIAC Talk Radio. Are you sitting there listening to one of our many great podcasts? Does your hiney suddenly hurt from listening oh so long? Try Boudreaux's butt paste. Your crack is in good hands.
Well, then.
My face hurts so much.
Well, then.
From smiling. Oh.
Boudreaux's butt paste.
I didn't know
that this product existed, Dan, until... until
I just, like... They were just like, you need to get some butt paste. Wait, what?
Like, what the hell is
that? What are you talking about?
What is butt paste? First of all, explain what it repairs, what it's pasting.
Oh, God.
I need to know these things before...
Oh, my head.
You know what, Dan? I do want to make note of the fact that the 100th episode of the flagship is coming up February 12th.
Oh, wow. Are we going to cut cake or something? You know how all those TV shows always do that.
We kind of should. Maybe for the 150th, I think by then. Well, no, that would be like another year. Because you figure you do about 50 episodes a year.
Yeah.
You do a weekly. So that'd be another year. I don't want to wait that long, Dan.
Mm-mm.
But I wanted to get together and actually cut cake. Cutting cake is a fun thing to do. It's an activity that you can enjoy.
Well, if you give me a heads up enough, it all depends on Mr. North Carolina.
Well, yes, Mr. North Carolina, he is the glue that holds us together, I do believe, Dan.
You're right. Yes, he is. Omega Squad, Chris Green.
Follow
him on Twitter at Omega Squad.
That's right. You cut me off, but Dan, let's get to the meat and potatoes, as they say. Before we get into either Duck Dynasty, before we get into Rob Ford, I do want to get into an announcement that I found out about tonight, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, that announcement is that Dave Bautista, who has been gone from WWE since, what was it? I'm looking it up now, but it takes a moment. I believe it was 2011.
Yeah, perhaps I was just 2010. Say 10 or 11, yeah.
But he's been gone from WWE for a while. He went and did some MMA training. He did a lot of good for cancer awareness as well. He had a whole thing that he was behind, Bautista Hates Cancer. Stand-up guy. I've always liked him. Frankly, since WrestleMania 23, the guy could do no wrong for me. He had that match with Undertaker. I thought it was going to be a stinker. I wasn't on the Batista train, but he really had a great match, WrestleMania 23, against the Undertaker.
No, I was a fan of his. I liked him from the beginning. It took me a while after his debut with... Devon.
Deacon
Bautista, right? Reverend Devon, Deacon something. I don't remember what.
I believe he was a deacon. Not sure.
I kind of joined on when he was a member of Evolution. I was big on I liked Evolution, and I liked that gimmick, and I
wasn't behind the... He seemed to me like another big guy, somewhat limited in the ring. but he proved me wrong with that Undertaker match, and from that point forward, could do no wrong for me. Of course, I thought his feud with John Cena toward the end of his time in WWE, that was another great moment for him, Dan. Went out, I thought, on top. Apparently, he's coming back, and the details on that, Dan, he's coming back to Las Vegas in February.
Well, what was the deal with his, I mean, he had one MMA fight, and he won it, didn't he?
Yes, he's won an O in MMA. It wasn't very impressive.
Oh, really?
It was a first-round TKO, but
yeah,
it was against another 50-year-old. He's a fairly old guy, Dan.
But I'm saying, you know, give it another shot. He's not 50.
He's 44, Dan.
That's not 50.
He's 44.
Whatever. My point is no, I just didn't think, you know, give it a shot.
Should be 45.
Jesus. All right, fine.
Halfway there.
All right, fine. I agree with you. Whatever. No, I just...
Trained by the Samoans, Dan. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that you have one fight, you win it on. You know, if it wasn't impressive, I thought he would give more of a shot for the MMA thing.
I don't know. You know, some people, they try it out, and it's not their thing. They don't like really getting hit, especially if you come from the wrestling background. I think sometimes once you're actually getting hit in the face, it's a little bit different.
I guess so, yeah.
Than otherwise.
I would agree. I would have to tend to agree with you on that one. But,
yeah, but he is 1-0. He beat the formidable Vince Luchero.
What was that for?
CES MMA.
See, I know CES. What was CES?
CSI is what you're thinking of, Dan. That's
no, CES.
A very popular television program.
No, I swear, didn't that air on TV, CES?
No, I'm not even... They did an iPay-per-view. It's something that runs... Rhode Island.
I'm probably confusing that with something else.
Probably.
Not probably. I'm definitely confusing that with something else.
You're probably thinking of CFLA or whatever. There's so many cage fighting promotions. It's like independent wrestling. They just pop up overnight. But, being that as it may, I'm pretty excited to see Batista back. Where do you think they're going to stick him? Of course, he's coming back right before WrestleMania. Do you think he gets a WrestleMania bid? Do you think maybe instead of going after Goldberg, they go after Batista and throw him in there against Ryback?
What do you mean Goldberg?
What?
What do you mean Goldberg?
Well, that was a theory for a while that Ryback and Goldberg were going to go.
Goldberg's not coming back. Goldberg doesn't care.
Goldberg likes money.
Well, yeah.
And for enough money, I think he would come back, Dan.
Would anybody know who he was at this point in the mainstream?
Who, Batista?
No, Goldberg.
I forgot who he was from the time he asked me the question, Dan.
That's a good point.
I don't like the man. If he never came back, it would be too soon. But think about that. About that, Dan.
I understand where you're coming from. You know, back in the day, for a little while, I admittedly was on the Goldberg train. After a couple months, I got tired of it.
Look, Raven should have beat him.
Raven should have beat him.
Raven should have been the one to end it.
Should have beat him.
No. I don't know.
Hugh Morris should have beat him.
You're going back to, like, January of that string. That's...
No, September. That was the first match.
Bill his first DeMotto, match was...
His first match on TV. He had one dark match before it. Yes. It was Hugh Morris.
I thought that was later on. Who am I thinking of then? Jerry Flynn. Jerry Flynn should have done it.
Oh, he beat the crap out of Jerry Flynn, like, 3 or 4 times.
Jerry Flynn should have been the man then.
No, but he had, like, one dark match, and then... The next week, he had a match against Hugh Morris on Nitro, like bottom of the first hour or something like that.
Did he ever beat Jim Powers?
I don't think Jim Powers is around anymore at that point.
I have to look up the streak. I'm sure somebody out there has the streak written down for us.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure Wikipedia has the streak.
No.
No?
They don't have every...
But he took Hugh Morris's finishing move, which was a moonsault called No Laughing Matter, something like that.
Yes, it was.
And
I know.
What?
No, just bringing that out of the past. I thought of No Laughing Matter in quite some time.
And he got up, and it wasn't even a great, like, one, two, oh, it was like, click. He didn't even make it click. Just, like I said, after a few months, I was like, well, NWO for life. I'm just saying.
Oh, I agree.
But no, Batista, back to the point, which is something I never thought I'd ever say, I'm kind of marking out. I can't wait for him to come back.
Yes, getting back to the... I was a little distracted. I'll let the people in on what I was looking for the streak.
Oh.
of Goldberg's. And I went to this... I went to this forum.
Yeah.
Who... The first response was... Somebody asked the question, can you list all the matches in the streak? And the person said Hugh Morris was the first. Then Jerry Flynn, Al Green, Jerry Flynn, Jerry Flynn.
Al Green. You know who Al Green was?
Brad Armstrong and Jerry Flynn. Who was Al Green then?
Al Green was Kevin Nash's original tag team partner as the Master Blasters. Kevin Nash had a mohawk and makeup.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Little known fact, Hector Guerrero lost. Versus Hugh Morris win, beginning of the streak. So he was 0-1 to start out.
Yeah.
Little known fact.
Wait, Hector Guerrero was that first match?
Yeah, apparently.
That's okay. I could never remember that at the time. I just never bothered to look it up anymore.
Yes.
That original run, and like I said, after a couple months, I was kind of over it. And then the crowd was still into it. Like when he won the world title, that was a very... very big pop, Atlanta, you know, the Georgia Dome.
You know what, Dan? Before you get to the Georgia Dome, I know that's a point of contention for you, but
I was going a different direction this time.
I was very upset, though, when Steve Mongo McMichael did not beat Goldberg.
Really?
Mongo? I was. You know what? He was a horseman, so he was cool by proxy. Cool by proxy in my book.
Really? Mongo?
Hey, you know what? Mongo for...
Horseman, we had
I'm starting it again. Mongo for the Hall of Fame. Starting it again this year. It was...
So wait a minute. Technically, the Four Horsemen got inducted. It was only... he didn't... Just the first...
No, it was like the third incarnation, because the second incarnation was with Lex, and then the third incarnation was with Barry.
Right.
So the only ones who were and JJ, so five horsemen were apparently inducted. It was JJ, Rick, Arn, Tully, and Barry were inducted. Not any of the other incarnations, because if you did that, you would have inducted Chris Benoit in the Hall of Fame, and we can't have that.
So because of Chris Benoit, they skipped Mongo.
Well, should Mongo be in there?
No, but I'm saying by proxy, if you're saying he's cool by proxy... By proxy, he should have a Hall of Famer.
By proxy, yes.
And Dean Malenko.
And Paul Roma.
Oh, yeah, and Sting.
Exhume Chris Benoit's body, put it on his skeletal finger. That's what I say. Or give it to his father.
Or just throw it in the urn.
Was he cremated?
I just read that the remains were given to his family. I'm assuming remains.
Well, you never know.
I'm assuming remains means...
I don't think everything's okay in that family, if you catch my drift.
I don't think everything's okay in that family.
That's neither here nor there. Now, moving on, Dan.
What are we talking about?
We were talking about Batista. Somehow we got...
talked about him for 4 seconds.
But Batista, he's coming back. I'm excited. Now, let's move on to Duck Dynasty, Dan. And to get people caught up, here is a CNN report on Duck Dynasty. We'll be back on the other side.
With their A&E show pulling 14 million viewers a week with an empire of DVDs, duck calls, and a Christmas album, too, it's no surprise GQ Magazine wanted to profile the Duck Dynasty crew at home in Louisiana.
Okay. Bill.
He's happy.
But the Bible-quoting patriarch of the Robertson family is raising eyebrows with his comments on homosexuality. It seems like, to me, a vagina would be more desirable than a man's anus, Phil Robertson told the magazine. Start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there. Bestiality, sleeping around with this woman and that woman and those men, it's not right.
A&E needs to come out very strongly and condemn Phil Robertson's statements.
Wilson Cruz and other gay rights advocates are hitting back hard, citing growing acceptance of same-sex marriage and relationships to suggest Robertson is ignorant, bigoted, or both.
The world is changing, the country's changing, and even the state in which Mr. Robertson lives is changing, and he needs to get in line.
What makes you wonder how we got roped into this?
I don't know.
But others say, hold on, Robertson was quoting widely supported church positions on sin, not just homosexuality, when he told GQ, the adulterers, the idolaters, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Russell Moore is with the Southern Baptist Convention.
I think that suggesting that people who hold to what every branch of the Christian faith has held to for 2,000 years are somehow bigoted or hateful is not productive for speech.
Whether this battle on the bayou will harm the Duck Dynasty is not clear. But for many fans, the appeal has long been that the Robertsons speak openly about their conservative values.
Phil, be nicer when you toss them back.
And there is this poll show about 44% of all Americans, like Phil Robertson, still think homosexuality is morally wrong.
Late today, we got a statement from Phil Robertson through A&E in which he said, I would never treat anyone with disrespect just because they're different from me. We are all created by the Almighty, and like him, I love all of humanity. I'm sure that won't quiet all the kerfuffle down, Jake, but an interesting playback and pushback on all this.
Kerfuffle. I have no idea what that is, but Dan, I'm going to go on the record right now and say I never watched one episode of Duck Dynasty. I never will. Nope. I don't care to watch Hicks with duck calling or whatever the hell they do on that show.
Gotcha.
Why?
Yep, pretty much.
Why, Dan?
Why
I don't
what?
Understand why that this is... I don't understand why this is a thing. I don't understand why society in this day and age...
Give a crap what some...
Well, no.
Thinks about gay people?
Well, no. They rise up these people and put them in positions that their opinions mean something. He's a hick who made a fortune with duck calls, if I'm not mistaken.
No, this is pretty much going to be a small discussion because I pretty much agree with you. I mean, why does it matter that this jag-off on a TV show feels the way he does? Did you hear his other quote about the black people?
Oh, yes. It was a dandy good time. In the South?
Apparently, yeah. No, they were. They
Nobody
were
was dead. Singing the blues. That's the quote. Nobody was singing the blues
it's
under
just,
the
you
Jim
know, where the blues were invented.
In Jim Crow, in the Jim Crow South, nobody was singing the blues. That's a quote from Phil Robertson. Now, my biggest point is I don't know why he's in a position where his opinion matters anyway. My second position is. People are saying that this is free speech. Now, you have free speech. I have free speech. I use it every Wednesday. I'm using it now.
Yeah.
However, Dan, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If while we were both employed with Comcast, cats out of the bag, that's where we met.
What?
But if while we were both employed at Comcast, we went on the air in a very public forum and started ripping Comcast for their, well, you did sometimes, but not really overly.
I never mentioned names or never did it. Believe me, I could write a book.
But yes, if you went on air and that was heard, you'd be fired.
Without
If
question.
You went on there and said, I don't understand why they schedule service calls 2 weeks out when... If you know somebody, you can actually get it done the next day.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't understand why they have that policy in place where you're not going to have service for 2 weeks, that sort of thing. If you went on air with that information, you'd be fired by Comcast. If you were, if when I was with Staples, they had a very clear social media policy that if I were to go on any type of any form of social media, I'd be fired, even if it were my opinion. So the thing is no this difference. Is not free speech. This is an employer saying, hey, you're going against what our values are. You can have your values, but you're going against our values. See you later. You're suspended. Yeah. And I agree with that. That's an employer and an employee situation. A&E, for some reason, is paying this guy buco bucks to have a show where you watch a guy hunt squirrels or something. I don't know, Dan.
I like squirrels.
I don't understand it. Now, for the people that are coming out and saying that, you know, he was just stating his opinion, this guy has gone on record, and here's from 2010, Dan, a sermon that this man gave about gays.
Mm. His wrath is poured upon you. Don't believe it? First they say there is no God. Get him out of your mind. Then they bow down to birds, animals, and reptiles, and each other. And the first thing you see coming out of them is gross sexual immorality. They will dishonor their bodies with one another, degrade each other. Is that going on in the United States of America? Look around. God's not there. We have all the answers. Don't hurt a little bird or an animal. And boy, is there some immorality going on around here. Does it get worse? Therefore, because they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to shameful lusts. Women exchanged natural relations and were inflamed with lust for one another. And the men were inflamed with lust with each other. Women with women, men with men. They committed indecent acts with one another. And they received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. They're full of murder, envy, strife, hatred. They are insolent, arrogant, God-haters. They are heartless. They are faithless. They are senseless. They are ruthless. They invent ways of doing evil. That's what you have. 235 years, roughly, after your forefathers founded the country. So what are you going to do, Pennsylvania? Just run with them? You're going to die.
Now, the first thing that I think of when I hear that, it sounds like 1939 Germany.
Yes!
It's a very scary world we live in if we open our eyes to it. I think there should be marriage equality. I think people should be able to live the way they want to live. Certainly, people are not hurting one another if they are with the one they love, regardless of gender, regardless of race. If this was 50 years ago, we'd be talking about blacks and whites being together. That's where we are now, as far as things. Let it go.
I'm hoping...
It's a lot of hate, and people will stand behind that Bible. While a wonderfully written book should not be the guidepost to your life. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was going to say, you know what? We should burn that book like they burned books before. We were talking about 1939 in Germany.
People,
it's just the book, you know?
People stand behind that. People... I got drawn into a conversation today. It started over Duck Dynasty, and it became, of course, they had to start quoting Leviticus.
Oh, God.
So when you start, you know, the man should not, okay, do you eat pork? Oh, you do? Okay, you broke one of God's laws. Have you gotten a haircut or shaved your beard? Okay, you broke another one of God's laws. It's ridiculous if you use the Bible as a guidepost.
Did you get a vasectomy? Well, you're going to hell. You broke another one of God's laws.
There you go.
You know, that book, I'm going to say it right now on air, and I'm going to say this on purpose, and I know I'm not going into a rant, Dean. That book is used as a post for convenience.
Well, sure.
Period.
I can agree with that, but I think organized religion, if you look back through the history of the world, organized religion as a whole, of course, the Crusades was all about wiping out Muslims at the time. Of course, the current world, the structure is all about different religions and people that are intolerant,
yeah.
Whether it's Christianity, whether it's simply that Americans are immoral and they don't listen to Muhammad and this sort of thing. Religion as a whole has created more problems for civilization than anything else. Now, of course, along with war, there is money to be made, and of course, the Vietnam War is a completely different situation altogether. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there are radicals out there that do use, whether it's the words of Muhammad, whether it's the words of the biblical writers, whatever it may be, that have caused civilization and humankind so much suffering in the name of their God, whether it's God, whether it's Allah, whether it's whoever. And that's the problem with organized religion. Organized religion, I think it's a great thing. If you look at it from the point of view of keeping a family together, going to church, and having that activity together, I think where the problem lies is when you try to change people's lifestyles. It's a discussion for a whole different thing that we're going to go off on, but it just angers me so much how much organized religion. I think, you know, if you need a higher power to get through the day, good on you. Don't force it down my throat. Don't force it down the throat of your fellow man. Don't be angry that someone has a different religion than you. America was first settled by pilgrims, by Quakers, by various different sects to get away from that type of religious persecution. So at this point in time, you're going to say, no, well, that was only to get away from Christian persecution, from the King of England, that sort of thing. We, the founders of the Constitution, the founders of this country, were not talking about other religions. They were simply talking about Christianity. That's the freedom of religion. We're not talking about, you know, any other type of religion that's out there. Just Christianity, and that's ridiculous. There should be religious freedom. There should be freedom to live how you want to live.
The fact that we're even having this discussion makes me feel like the 60s again.
In a way, we haven't really come all that far, Dan. But
no.
Continue with that point.
No, we haven't. It's pretty much the same position that this country was in the late 60s, and all these people who are hating on this. Hating is not even – that's such a weak phrase to use. Hating is such a – the fact that you think as a human being you can tell somebody else how to live their life, you're dead wrong, period.
I believe even in the same book that thou shalt not judge is
– well, unless you're being all gay and stuff.
I don't know where – that book gives you the right to tell others. It's the pursuit of happiness. It's the pursuit of freedom, which America was founded on. And what difference does it make if your neighbor is a man and a woman that most likely will be having a domestic disturbance? Right, Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Or...
Shut up over there.
Yeah, or... Studies have shown that a gay household is more stable and does more for this country. They have higher salaries. They have higher educations, usually. So think of it that way. I have friends on Facebook, friends from high school, Dan, that are now raising children. They're in a committed relationship. They live as spouse, and they do a lot of good. They did a lot of good for a kid that frankly had no other place to go, considered a troubled child. They've had this child for 3 or 4 years, and they've done great things in this child's life, and they have enriched this child's life. What would have happened to that child had these two people not come into this kid's life? Just saying. People don't think of that. You want to settle abortions? You want to say, okay, put up every kid that you want to have, put it up for adoption? Sure. Okay, let's do that. Who's going to adopt them? Oh, well, I don't want two men to adopt. I don't want two women to adopt. I think that's ridiculous. I think that's ridiculous. If there's a committed family with a committed... It just doesn't make sense. It blows my mind what people think out there. It's a scary place, Dan.
Listen, in 30 years, we're going to be talking about how silly everybody was.
I would hope. I don't know, Dan. I
hope so.
I don't know.
The fact that... and maybe this happened in the 60s. Obviously, I wasn't there. But the fact that you can go on the Senate and blatantly say these things.
Yeah.
The fact that you're allowed to still serve. I don't want to hear freedom of speech bull crap.
See, it's a little harder for a public servant because your employer would be the people, and if your constituents feel that way, I guess you have every right to say that. However,
Not all your constituents feel that way.
Yeah, I don't know, Dan. It's just very, very. It's a very unique situation we see.
Getting back to the main point. The man said something
that his employer didn't like,
and in my opinion, stupid. But his employer didn't like, and he has the right to say what he wants, and his employer has the right to say you're the hell out of here because I don't like what you said. End of story.
And that's the end of the story. If you have an employer-employee relationship, whether it's contractual, whether it's non-contractual, whether it's at will, whether whatever. And your employer doesn't like what you said. Most likely it's a contract, so he probably broke a clause within that contract, and they said, see you later, pal. You're suspended. Goodbye. Shut up. It's not free speech.
It isn't. And
you can say whatever you want. If it wasn't free speech, Dan, he'd be locked up right now in the gulag.
Correct.
Period.
And the thing is we're going to stand behind Papa. Well, you can stand behind Papa on the unemployment line.
Amen, brother.
Good night. See you later.
Dan, on that note, I believe it's time to take our first music break. What should it be? Keep My Heat On?
Yes.
Keep My Heat On by the Mystery Men here on HIAC Talk Radio after midnight. We'll be back after this, and we're going to talk about Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. Mystery Men with Keep My Heat On. Of course, you can get the album at lucha-rock.com for all your Mystery Men needs. And it's after midnight, so you never know what goes on. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys.
All right. So Dan is joining me by phone. He is rebooting the equipment. Right, Dan? Dan?
I'm here. Hold on a second. I was doing computer maintenance, and my computer decided to want to do a forced restart in 14 minutes.
Well, you could have postponed that, Dan. There is the opportunity.
I started before you contacted me.
Oh, you and your forced maintenance.
I had forgotten all that about it, huh?
MLJ will be joining us. I kind of want to hold off on Rob Ford, see what he has to say about Rob Ford until he calls in. We will talk about Cage of Death as well with him. But, Dan, I think a word from our sponsor here for After Midnight is in order.
Hi, I'm Dean Dixon, the host of HIAC Talk Radio. Are you sitting there listening to one of our many great podcasts? Does your hiney suddenly hurt from listening oh so long? Try Boudreaux's Butt Paste. Your crack is in good hands.
That's right, Boudreaux's Butt Paste. For all your...
That's the greatest thing ever.
For all your hiney needs. Now, Dan, I really want to hold off for MLJ. He's waiting to pay his tab as we speak. He is keeping in contact with me, so I do know that he will be here. But you know what? If we have to play the clip of Rob Ford twice, I don't think that's a great crime against humanity. So
no,
here it is right now. Here it is right now. This was from CNN. This is Rob Ford on Rob Ford.
They can make fun of me. They can laugh at me all they want. They don't know Rob Ford.
I was born and raised here, and went to school here. I know everybody, and I'm no nonsense. There's no phoniness. I am what I am, and I'm sincere, right? They said, do you smoke crack, and are you a crack addict? No, I don't smoke crack, and I'm not a crack addict. Have I? Yes, I have. So that's what I didn't lie. I don't smoke crack. I haven't smoked crack in over a year. But did I? But that's semantics, Mayor. Come on, it totally is semantics. Typical media. You guys are the same. You're all cut from the same cloth. I don't look at myself as the mayor. I look at myself as just a normal, regular person. All these rich elitist people, I'm sick of them. They're suing them. They're perfect. They don't do nothing. Get out of here. They don't do nothing. They're the biggest crooks around. I show up every day to work. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Sure. Well, I've gone, you know, gone to a party and I got a couple of drinks with them. Yeah, I have some good times. Like, it's only human. You ever got drunk before, Bill?
Of course.
Okay, sure.
But I'm not running the biggest city in Canada.
You're insulating your children from what's going on now?
Absolutely. I'm the best father around.
But there's going to come a day when they Google their dad.
Absolutely. And I'm going to explain what they're hearing. I'm straight forward with my kids. I take my kids out. And I bring them to my daughter's dance lesson. I'm teaching my son how to skate. And my wife supports him. And my wife's had some issues. Well, you just dismiss them? You just walk away? I don't walk away from anyone, Bill, in life. I'm sitting here and support people that are down and out.
Jerry, take this gentleman's name, address, and we'll follow up. I'll come and see you. Just give me a couple weeks.
My specialty is taking care of people that have been totally ignored their whole life. Call me anytime. You've got my cards.
Make sure you take care of yourself.
And that's why I get so passionate about it.
Thank you.
Oh, it gets me worked on.
So that was embattled Rob Ford talking about himself. Just a little clip to wet the palate. Dan, before we go into how I feel about Rob Ford and if it's somewhat overblown. Your thoughts on Rob Ford?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. This is a tough one for me because at the same time, like, if you want to smoke crack and act like a jackass, that's your problem. But if you're the mayor of a major city, you have some sort of responsibility to act like a responsible grown adult. And where I come from, a responsible grown adult doesn't smoke crack. I don't know how to feel about this one. Should he lose his office?
They're trying to get him out of office, that's for sure.
The first thing I thought about was President Clinton. He gets I don't know how to say it lightly. When, how do I say that?
Fellatio within the office.
Yeah, he gets fellatio within the office of the presidency. Does that affect the decisions that he's made as his president?
He was much more laid back than a lot of other presidents, Dan.
That's very true. But does that affect the way he runs the office?
I think he was impeached pretty much because of the cigar. And if you don't know what I'm talking about. That tastes good.
That tastes good. Yeah. I really like how that goes down my throat.
That was a different time, though. I mean, that was pre-9/11. That was the good old days, Dan. It's hard to believe that the 90s, you look back at 1992 to, you know, his 8 years in office to 2000, that it was that much different. And it really was.
Yeah, it's like a whole other, it's like the world disappeared overnight, and then when you woke up, it was all different, all gone.
It's really like the scene in, what movie was that? That was the Fahrenheit 9/11. Was it all just a dream when Al Gore apparently won the election? Was it all just a dream? Apparently it was.
I mean, on a very basic level, the man should not... I don't know, man. How do you feel about the whole thing?
Well, Rob Ford, like I said when we were introducing the show, I think Rob Ford has done a lot of good for Toronto, lowered the unemployment rates. He has created jobs. Toronto has... His constituents love him. So, I mean, what wrong has the man really done? Now, outside of the office at night, he may partake in a few parties, may get drunk. Sure, he enjoys that life.
Has he hurt anybody?
He hasn't, but it's one of those things. You kind of weigh it, the jail's discusses, the justice there, the scales of justice, and you weigh things, and you say, okay, he's done a lot of good, but he smoked crack, and then he's a public representative. So in that respect, I do agree with you. It's kind of crazy when you think about it that he's actually that effective. Can you imagine how effective he would be if he didn't have all these scandals?
Can you imagine how effective he'd be if he wasn't drinking and smoking crack?
That was over a year ago, Dan. You heard what the man said. It was over a year ago. Give him a little slack, will you?
Do I believe that? No.
I don't know if you believe that, Dan.
No, I'm saying no.
What, you think he goes out on a nightly escapade and smokes some crack? You're making a judgment call.
I'm not saying he does it nightly, but I'm saying that I think he's done it more often than he's leading on to believe. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
You know, some of the best stuff on YouTube, if you type in Rob Ford and look at some of the things that have happened in the Toronto City Council, that's some really amazing stuff.
Oh,
that's your homework right there. Go
like
dig
watching,
that up.
It's like watching a sitcom.
It is, in a way. It is in a way.
It's unbelievable that that's happening.
It is. Yeah, and he reminds me so much of that big guy. Who was the big guy on Saturday Night Live? Help me out here. Tommy Boy.
Chris Farley?
Yes, he reminds me so. He looks like Chris Farley. The clothes don't fit like Chris Farley. He reminds
he's
me
funny.
So much of Chris Farley. Yes. Yes, he just reminds me of Chris Farley.
He's going to end up the same way as Chris Farley? Don't look up that picture.
Yeah, that's not a very good picture to... Yeah.
That's how you scare people doing drugs. Show them that picture. You want to end up like this?
Yeah, well, you know what, Dan? I to join us for the Rob Ford conversation, this is a man who really doesn't need an introduction, but I give it to him anyway. It is Emil J. He will be joining us after his theme music, Dan, and I know he loves this.
Well, I met this lady and I told her quite a story, said I love her forevermore. But the trouble is I tell the same old story to every girl that walks through the door. Well, first they love me, and then they don't. Sometimes they do it, and sometimes they won't. So I said to this girl, hey, you get out. And she got to her feet and began to shout. You a dinosaur, bro, a dinosaur, bro. And you're always lying to your friends. You a dinosaur, bro, a dinosaur, bro. And you never get nothing in the end. What you talking about, lady? Talking to you, I don't do nothing but tell the truth.
Now, when I see this man at various different wrestling promotions coming out in his pimp suits, that's the first thing that plays in my mind. Emil J, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. Sorry for the delay, Mr. Dixon. I am here, and I'm ready to talk about some stuff, man.
Okay, right now we're talking about Rob Ford, the embattled Toronto mayor. Do you know anything about Rob Ford? What's your opinion on Rob Ford?
I think he made a questionable decision in choosing crack. I mean, if you're going to do a drug, and you're a mayor... What are you dealing with crack for? There's so many other drugs.
That's true. That is true. There are a lot of other drugs out there that you could partake, especially if you hold that office of mayor. And I lost Emil. He made his point and he's gone.
Hey, you know what? D.C. elected Marion Barry twice.
I was going to say that, but... Emil made a great point, and he's gone. Deuces.
There's so many other drugs. Goodbye.
He's leaving on a high note, Dan. I don't know. But
literally.
I give him a minute intro. I give him 30 seconds to speak, and he's gone. He's out, but he's back again, Dan. He's not getting the intro twice.
Do it.
I'm back.
Okay, you're back. How
I'm
are
back.
You, Emil?
What happened there?
I don't know.
It's those devils trying to control what I say. But basically what I was saying was, he's a mayor of a major city, like, in the world, Toronto, and you're dealing with a poor man's drug. Like,
hey, get some cocaine.
Like, at least do, like, designer coke instead of, like, crack. You never know what you're getting with crack. I watch documentaries.
Well, here's the thing, though, guys. He wants to be a man of the people. What better way to be a man of the people than to smoke crack?
Very good. I mean, I listened to – I just joined you guys probably 10 minutes ago. I was at my very best friend's birthday at a local bar here. I started listening, and the only thing that – I could weigh in. I started listening during the Ford versus Bill Clinton thing with the whole impeachment. Is Like, I don't necessarily think that receiving oral sex really changes your mental capabilities and faculties the way that a narcotic can. And if you're doing it...
It changes mine, Emil. I don't know about you.
What's that? Oh, well, I mean, I don't think it quite changes my mind the way, like a street drug would. I mean, one's going to make me say, yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want. And crack is going to make me say, you know what would be a great idea? And just, like, go off on a tangent. Not that I've ever done crack, but that's what I would imagine.
I don't believe it.
Very good point, Emil. Very good point. But I think in what I like to say is the final analysis, Rob Ford has done a lot of good, but with questionable tactics at home. How do you feel about it, Emil, and then Dan?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't think politicians party, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you, basically. I mean, they have the capability to get their hands on any kind of liquor, any kind of drug that they want, pretty much. And if they want to party, they're going to party. The thing is if it creeps into their agenda, that's when we have a real problem. If he starts, you know, coming out with, like, ideas out of left field, you know, and he appears to be, you know, under the influence while governing a populace, then there's an issue. Since it came out, do I think he should be serving some sort of, like, under some sort of supervisory or... And I don't necessarily know how it would be done, but some sort of, I don't know, probation-like period where...
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, yes, he has done a lot of good for the city, as you said, Dean. But when it comes out that he's doing these drugs recreationally, who's to say that that isn't creeping into his professional life? When something like that comes out, you're going to have to take a close look at it, put him under some sort of probation, and kind of weigh those scales of justice that you spoke about earlier and see if it is impacting what he is doing for the city. And if it is, then you get rid of him. If it isn't, well, then, you know, put him in some sort of rehab, let him govern the best way he can, perhaps set up some sort of probationary thing, supervisory thing for him to kind of, like, report to or filter his ideas through so that it's not skewed through the angry, vile eyes of crack cocaine.
All right, Dan, how do you think they should handle Rob Ford up there in Toronto?
No, I think it should be done in a similar way where you have some sort of a probationary period or the word I was looking for. Somebody basically watches it. You know, I'm not talking about sitting with him 24/7, but, you know, they advise him. And they make sure that, you know, that every decision he's making, every paper he's signing, every meeting he's going to, he is normal Rob Ford, not a drug-influenced Rob Ford. And if he's still on track, then he's okay. If you find out he's making erratic decisions, it's time to... It's time to close the book on Rob Ford.
All right, and we are going to be joined by an American perspective here. I don't know why this guy keeps on calling in, because I don't enjoy his presence. It's the American Roughneck. How do you feel about it, American Roughneck?
How do I feel about this? Let me see. As a public servant, you are held to a higher standard than the normal public. Would you want your EMT, your firefighter, your military personnel making decisions while possibly being high? And can you take that chance? No. Gone. Should be out. Done.
Wow. Very decisive. Very decisive. I disagree, Dan. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't disagree with what Roughneck is saying. On the other hand, I don't hold politicians on the same level as firefighters, EMTs, or police officers.
You're elected to handle a job, be able to make decisions. As much as I hate the fat bastard as we got as a governor, he had to make decisions for Sandy. He was out there. Did you want him being high when he was doing that? He was also the one taking control of the emergency responders and what he wanted done. These are positions that you elected these people to do. They're supposed to uphold your trust. Can you do that while smoking crack? And probably since he is doing a low-level street drug, when he's drunk, he's probably drinking Boone's Farm.
Yeah, true.
Russell's got a good point there, man.
And we all know the evils of Boone's Farm.
Yes, you know. But, yeah, that's just my opinion. I've got opinions on your earlier discussion, too. You gave a show to a bunch of rednecks, and what did you think was going to happen?
That's true, too. I think I kind of we kind of strayed away from that point, but yes, I certainly agree with that as well. How do you feel overall about Phil Robertson and his whole thing?
I'm more mad at A&E, you know, than I am at Phil Robertson because, hell, they brought us all my two Coreys.
Yeah,
so I really don't hold A&E, you know, in the highest respect. Although they do a good job with the History Channel and stuff like that.
You
know,
all right, so,
I mean, the whole thing is, to me, it's ridiculous on both ends because, you know, you took a job knowing that you're here to entertain, and a lot of entertainers start just spewing their personal opinions all over the place, and they're here to entertain. I really don't care what your political or personal views are.
Yeah, there you go. And
I
once he, but do you agree with that? Once he broke that, he made that opinion. A&E had every right to sever that contract
with him. Oh, I'm sure they did. Yeah, he said it in earlier interviews that they've cut down on the praying segment and wanted certain words deleted from his prayers at the end of the show. He said it personally before. So he knew what track he was on and what he was dealing with. And when this came out, it bit him in the butt. It happens.
It
Choose your words wisely.
It certainly does. American Roughneck, you gained a few levels of respect. You added to a conversation. I give you the kudos of the night, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. It's just I've been listening all night, and it's just I couldn't hold my tongue any longer.
Hey, that's why, you know, you hit one. I knew you wanted to come on. I saw you there lurking around in the shadows. That's why we get the
I was just listening for the pure entertainment value of your product.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. We're going to move on to Cage of Death. I want to get Emil's perspective of Cage of Death. You're more than happy to – I'm happy to have you hang out for a little while, but I'm not sure if you're going to be able to add anything. I'm not sure if you saw the show or not.
No, I did not catch the show. I was actually busy doing other things that evening, but I heard it was a good show.
Oh, it certainly was, but the first thing we're going to talk about is perhaps a train wreck. I'm going to put you back on hold right now. I'm going to play a clip here for Emil. Now, Emil, I did have a chance to speak with one of the people that were involved with CZW Cage of Death. Of course, I'm talking about Freight Train, and here is an interview I conducted while with New Moon Rising Wrestling up at WrestleCon. So here is an exclusive interview with Freight Train.
All right, here.
Yes, we did.
Freight Train, do you have a moment?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
We're doing good. Now,
We are with New Moon Rising Wrestling. Have you ever heard of us?
No.
Well, you have now.
Uh-huh.
So how are you doing today?
Genesis. I'm doing good.
You doing good?
Yeah, I'm just hanging up here all week.
How was WrestleCon this week?
It was good. More exciting. I got to meet a lot of fans. And I got to meet some wrestlers who I've never seen before in person.
Okay. Well, who'd you meet? Who was the favorite person that you met this week?
I met Bret Hart.
How'd that happen?
It was good.
It was good?
He was a real nice guy.
Now, can you say one thing for me?
What?
New Moon Rising Wrestling is good?
Yes. Human Rising is good.
I love it. Thank you. Great saying. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you, man. It was great.
So that was an exclusive interview with Freight Train. Now, I bring up Freight Train because I said it on Wednesday. There could have been perhaps only one misfire on the entire Cage of Death show, and that was, of course, Freight Train taking on Greg Excellent, taking nothing away from the excellence that is Greg Excellent. How did you see that match, Emil? And I want your candid and open and honest opinion.
All right. Freight Train versus Greg Excellent on paper is pretty much the best thing that you could ever want from having Freight Train in the combat zone. Freight Train, I've been a fan of his for like 2 years now. I love absolutely everything he does. I really enjoy the $5 wrestling product. He is an ambassador of that product. I really like it. It's really entertaining. And Freight Train, like, he's such a kind, sweet, genuine man. And for him to go up against Greg Excellent, somebody who I think could handle being in the ring with Freight Train and knows what to expect being in there with Freight Train would be awesome. However, where it went wrong, and I actually said this to DJ just last night, is you didn't let Freight Train be Freight Train. It didn't need, as far as I'm concerned, he didn't need to be Cherry Bomb's hired hitman or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Just have Freight Train come out to come on and ride it, open parentheses, the train, close parentheses, by the Quad City DJs, let him do his whole choo-choo, his whole everything. He would, like, I know, like, there were pockets of the 1,000 fans that enjoyed having him there, that were into it. They knew Freight Train. But to those people that didn't know who he was, I think just a little, something as small as him coming out to his own theme music would have won them over. Because if you watch his entrance at Cage of Death when he's coming out with Cherry Bomb, it's kind of like lackluster. Who's this guy coming out in a red tank and red shorts that's not really doing anything? Whereas you watch him come out against Big Donnie at Five Ever when he is just amped up. Like, that is Freight Train. Like, that is awesome. That's the Freight Train I wanted. Now, I understand they had the whole storyline of Cherry and Pepper Parks against Greg, his mom, the whole thing coming to a head at Cage of Death, the blow-off, the final confrontation. But if you're going to have Freight Train in that when Pepper Parks is doing DDP yoga, I don't think you involve all that outside stuff. I think you make that wait for another month. I think you just have Freight Train, let him be Freight Train, and, you know, maybe have a hook for the January show. Like, oh, we bring you the blow-off to this feud at Cage of Death, but come January, you'll see if Greg Excellent gets Cherry Bomb for 30 days or if Greg has to start eating smart and healthy for whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
have that hook for later. But
he didn't look like he wanted to be there.
Freight Train?
Yeah, he looked like he was really uncomfortable.
No, you know what? I talked to I had no less than 3 conversations with Freight Train that day, and I'll tell you what, that dude just loves being there. He loves being involved. He loves the fans coming to see him, come to talk to him. He really is like one of the kindest, sweetest, gentlest, most genuine guys I have ever met in pro wrestling. I'm not even lying. Like, I'm not even working you one bit. I mean, he kind of kept to himself in the back, which can be expected because I've been the guy that hasn't really known anybody on the show. And like, as a ring announcer, like, if you don't really know anybody, you don't want to make waves. Freight Train, yeah, people know who he is, but he doesn't really know anybody there. So he was kind of like keeping to himself, and I spoke to him, like I said, 2-3 times, and he was just like kind of like just really happy to be there, and he enjoyed his time, I think. I think part of it was awkward for him because he didn't really know anybody, but like, that didn't really matter to him. He just wanted to be there. He just wanted to entertain the fans. And I think those people who knew that who Freight Train was, they understood what was going on, and they gave him the support that he has come to know and expect from being at $5 wrestling events.
Okay, so a misfire, but perhaps it was expectations and how the match itself is presented. Moving on from Freight Train, what are your overall thoughts? I don't want to go through a recap, a match-by-match type of thing, but what were some of your moments being part of the production aspect of things, being the ring announcer for the show? Before you say anything, I do want to say the Lyle Williams thing. Of course, Lyle Williams, the CZW photographer. Yeah, I thought that was a great moment, but just give me some of your overall thoughts, you know, a few different moments of Cage of Death.
The whole opening of the show, coming out to start it and seeing how heavy the crowd was, like, I knew going into it that Cage of Death was going to be the most attended show of this year. Now, like, it might have suffered a bit due to the weather and due to Ring of Honor's final battle being an hour and a half away. However, I knew that there were going to be a lot of eyes on the product, a lot of eyes on me, a lot of eyes on the guys. And once I went through that curtain, I was like, man, like, there's a lot of people here. I did the introduction. Tommy Dreamer's music hits. Huge pop, you know, and then goes into the Lyle C. Williams thing, which was super classy. And then you start the show with Hero and Gulak, which I thought was an incredible match. And then right after that, you have that scramble, which the lineup for that scramble changed, I mean, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 times. And you have all these young up-and-comer guys that are, like, mostly known as flyers with your Andrew Everett and your A.R. Fox. And then you have Azrael, who's been around the scene for a long time, who was just added to the match. And then you have Joe Gacy, who doesn't really fit with any of those guys, but is hanging with each and every one of them. And everything's being executed so flawlessly, and Gacy gets the win, and he starts getting support from the fans, which I think has been missing from Joe Gacy. Like, the fans haven't really been getting behind him as much in, ever, as much as they did this past show. And I think that was really good for Joe. It was a really good showing for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Strickland and Cologne, I think, suffered from card placement. And it's really hard when you're match number 9 of 9 consecutive matches when fans are restless for the cage. It's really hard. And I think if you watch it back, if you just skip to that match and kind of just, like, ignore the crowd reaction, you'll see that those guys had a real hell of a match. They put it all out on the line. And that's kind of like the sleeper match of the whole night, I think. And I know leading up to the match, I spoke with Shane, I spoke with Alex a little bit, and they were amped for their match. Like, they were like, hey, man, I hope you, you know, watch this match, and and really see what we're trying to accomplish here. And I think they did. It just suffered from, I mean, with a card like that, when you had to set up the Cage of Death, there is really no time to do, like, four matches, intermission, four matches, and then set up the cage. You have to do it all. You have to do the whole first part of the show, like, the whole show before the cage. You have to do that one fell swoop because there's too much dead time with two intermissions. But I think if they went on maybe third or fourth, you would hear a lot more talk about that match than you do now. As far as everything, Davey and Dickinson, they just killed each other. Like, a few of those kicks that Dickinson gave Davey sounded like gunshots, like legitimate gunshots. Those two just laid into each other. Really good, strong match, stiff, basically everything you would expect from Dickinson and Davey. And I know Dickinson was really looking forward to that match because this was, I think, the third time that they were scheduled to compete. And Davey couldn't make it the first two times. And Davey almost didn't make it this time because of the weather conditions and everything like that. He got a delayed flight. He had to get another, got to catch another flight. And that was a match that almost didn't happen.
Well.
So I'm really happy for Dickinson that he was able to get this match because you heard, I mean, if you watch this show, afterwards he was talking about how much Davey meant to him, driving him from the same flight to the Harley Race School, which was 2 hours out of Davey's way. Davey being one of the people that Dickinson looked up to. And you can see it in Dickinson's in-ring style, that he kind of looked up to and idolized the American Wolf, Davey Richards. And for him to finally get that singles match at a high-profile independent show, I think just meant the world to Chris Dickinson. And he really showed it with the amount of effort that he put forth. Not to say that he doesn't always put that effort forth because he's a hell of a competitor, but that match in particular, you could kind of tell what it meant to him, that he was going up against one of his idols. And I think that really delivered. I think the lights going out towards the end of the match, that was freaking ridiculous. There was somebody back there fucking with the lights because of the whole, you know, Cage of Death thing.
Okay.
And that being said, going on to the Cage of Death, the big bumps were brutal. I think a lot of the guys brought it. Rory did a hell of a job. You know, he was really starting to come into his own. But if you're a guy like Rory, who was going to shows since, what, 01, 02, dressed up as Sick Nick Mondo, to finally get in the ring with his, not just one of his idols, his idol, his number one, the whole reason he got into the business, pretty much.
Yeah.
To be in the main event, his first ever main event, mind you, the biggest show of the year, and have his hero, his idol, be involved. I mean, why wouldn't you just call it a career after that? I mean, for him personally, I don't think there's any higher peak to reach. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm just trying to put myself into his shoes. And if I was him and all those circumstances were the same, I would be glad to walk away perfectly fine with the way everything happened, because that was a moment right there. When Last Resort hit again, the fans became unglued. Like, they lost their minds because, I mean, think about it in terms of CZW history, who the top five guys are. You have Wifebeater, who isn't ever going to be around pretty much ever again. You have Nick Gage, who's locked up in jail. You have Zandig, who's come back a couple times. You have Lobo, who's just, you know, his body is just ripped to shreds. And then you have Nick Mondo, who hasn't been around, who hasn't been seen since 2003, since that mother effing bomb off the top of that building through all those tables has never been seen. And then for him to come back as a surprise, that had to be the thing that fans were expecting the least. Like, that, like, John, when he came back those couple times, in a no-rope barbed wire filling in for Necker that one time, and that fist fight against Brain Damage, and I think he came back one other time. Like,
he came back and fought BJ.
Right. So, like, he's been back a few times. That would be the only person I would think that could rival Sick Nick Mondo in terms of crowd reaction. But Mondo coming back, just like the I was out at ringside at that time, and I saw him in the back. I knew what was going on, but being out there was just—it was just insane. Like, I became one of those on the other side, one of those people on the other side of the guardrail, because they reacted so fiercely, so strongly to his return that I was just watching as a fan again, as a kid who would watch fake UTV on WGTW at 12 o'clock midnight on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday night, I think it was. Man, Sigmundo is here. Now, I knew he was in the building for hours before that, but seeing him run through that curtain in the UFOs with the crowd cheering, listening to Last Resort by Papa Roach, it just took me back like 10 years, literally 10 years since he had stepped foot in the CZW ring. And that shit right there was like a magic moment that you hear people talk about, and you're like, man, like,
you know what?
Like, for instance, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing before you get off onto another tangent is, I think a magical moment happens because when you're working on a show, you kind of lose the fan in you because you have a job to perform, whether it's ring announcing, whether it's commentary, you lose that. So if a return like Mondo's can bring you back to being a fan again, I think that's really a magical moment, and that's I think that's really an important thing that he did for you. If he can do that to someone on the show, that's amazing.
And before I touch on the point that I was going to make before you said that, I just want to say that after I announced Hero Gulak, went back to sit next to my friend Zach, who, for those of you who don't know, Zach Burns is the pretty much production sound engineer. He's the music guy, you know, for CCW. I went back, I sat down next to him, because originally I wanted to do commentary as well. But I knew that with the amount of fans there, it would take a long time for me to get from the table to the ring to keep the show going. So I just said, you know what, screw it. I'm going to sit next to my boy, and I'm going to take this show in. I announced it. Bryce Remsburg, who was, you know, a good person to see there again. I miss having Bryce around. And you know what? It was one of the first shows I ever worked with Bryce, but, you know, I just know, like, who he's been on the indie scene. But that's another point. I go sit next to Zach, and one of the first things I say to him is, man, I feel like a fan again right now from the first match out. So that wasn't just a feeling that Sick Nick Mondo's return brought to me. Like, that was a feeling of the entire show. And he agreed with me because we work CZW every month. I work On Point whenever I can. I work many other outlets. And like you said, I have a job to perform. It's not really my duty to act and respond as a fan. But for Cage of Death, for the energy that was there, I felt like a fan. And that's a really good feeling to have whenever you're working a show, especially in an auxiliary role, because you're able to let your inner, I guess your inner fandom, you're able to let that out kind of when you're in the ring or calling the match or doing whatever it is. And it brings a better feel to the product, I think. And what I was going to say before we got into this is I have a friend, I have a dear friend. I go to WrestleMania with him every year. He used to post on the boards on the internet as Lobo Mondo Mark. And I wish I just, he chose to go to Ring of Honor instead because he lives a lot closer to Manhattan than he does to Voorhees. And with the weather, I can understand it. It's a quick train ride. You don't have to worry about driving in the snow or anything like that. I get it. But I just wish I was, I saw the lineup emailed to me in the morning, and I just wish I said to him, like, man, if you can, come down to Voorhees. I didn't do that, and I kind of feel bad because he texted me after the show. He's like, dude, if I was there and Mondo came back, I would have marked out like never before. And, like, I kind of wish that I kind of, like, that I at least attempted to try to get him down the Cage of Death to see that. But I think by that point, at, like, 12 noon, the day of, like, the mind is made up, like, where you're going to go.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But Cage of Death, thank you for that, for your thoughts on Cage of Death. It's good to hear somebody who worked on the show, especially in a role that you were where you could actually observe and actually had things to do. So thank you for that. What I want to get into now, Dan, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just wasn't sure. I knew you're on the line, but I just wasn't sure if you were there. I want to talk
a
little bit about...
I was taken back to the show.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about On Point Wrestling. Of course, that's coming up on the 4th of January. It's very soon. Emil,
I cannot wait.
Yes, you and I are going to be calling some of these matches. We're going to have a good time. I want to talk about a few of these. I want to talk about first time ever dream match, The Last of a Dying Breed, Eddie Kingston taking on the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. I have never looked more forward to a match to call than this one.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Dean. I think it has to be at least 8 or 9 months now already that local promoters for On Point Wrestling told me that they were trying to put together Tremont Kingston. And I told them from that very second, I was like, dude, that match is money. And I've been looking forward to that match since the very moment that he said that to me. And when they formally announced it, I was like, man, that's going to be a hell of a match. Like, two guys, like I think these two guys are, like, custom-made for each other in a match like this. They're going to leave it all in the ring, and I think it's going to be a fantastic matchup. I have nothing but the highest of hopes for it, and to call it with you, Dean, it's just going to be so much fun.
It's, like I said, of all the matches I've had the opportunity to call, now I haven't had the high-profile stuff that you've called Cage of Death and you've called WrestleCons and things of that nature. So I don't have that type of experience to draw from, but this is just going to be a moment, something I'm going to look back on and say I was a part of that. I called that match, the first time ever match between Kingston and Tremont. Dan,
no.
Your perspective, I'm sorry, let me get Dan's perspective and then we'll go back. But Dan, that match, how do you feel about it?
It's one of those matches where for a guy that lives 187 miles away, you buy, you barter, you steal, find a way to get up there and see it in person. Seeing that on iPay-per-view or over the internet or on TV is nothing that it won't do it justice. Let's just say that. And I for one, am still trying to finalize plans, but I plan on being there on the 4th to see that.
So, like you said, almost 200 miles away, this is a match that you have to see. Now, Emil, what were you going to say?
I was going to ask you, Dean, if you consider this the highest profile match that you will have the opportunity to blend your narrative to.
At this point, yes. At this point in time, it most certainly is. I've plied my trade for New Moon Rising Wrestling for the first year that they were in existence, pretty much. The most notoriety that got me as far as in wrestling was their fans. There wasn't much outside noise. A few people have heard it and have complimented that sort of thing outside of the company. But our product didn't get out there that much.
Four more months, buddy.
Yeah, the product just didn't get out there as much as it should have, I'll put it that way.
Right.
Besides that, I'm trying to think if there's last month was On Point. I think On Point's a big step, and I'm more than happy to be part of it. Not only calling it with you, it's just an amazing thing in my young career as far as a commentator. So yeah, definitely the most high profile, and it's going to be hard to top, quite frankly.
And you know the thing about this On Point show is there's not only that match, but there's a few other matches that you could probably say would be your most high profile match that you've ever called, because this show is stacked, especially on the top half of the card. There's just a handful of matches there that are just, like, you look at it, you're like, man, they really put something together here.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say,
On Point is getting a lot of people are talking about On Point around the area, and that's good. Anytime a startup independent comes up and people start talking about it almost right from the gate. I mean, you know, last January, you know, was a good show, and then you go on to Memorial Day weekend, which, you know, the attendance was kind of light due to, you know, when and where it ran, but since September with Dickinson and Summers and November, I mean, they've really picked up a shit ton of steam.
Oh, yeah. I think the Summers and Dickinson really got people talking. That was a match, of all the matches I've seen this year on the independent scene. I go to shows. I go to every CZW show. Most, if I don't go, I see it on iPay-per-view. I've seen a lot of other shows throughout the area, various different promotions. I keep up on a lot of things, PWG through DVDs and things of that nature. Of all the matches that I saw, Dickinson Summers for me was where the money was this year. My second would be Cole against Callahan at PWG is Your Body Ready, the Iron Man match. But Dickinson and Summers was just an amazing for such a young company to get the response that they. And you're bringing in a guy, Scott Summers, that wasn't seen on the East Coast for 2-3 years since that Tournament of Death where he split his head open.
Yeah, that had a lot to do with, how the fact that Scott Summers was able to be as over as he was with the amount of time that he spent away from this area. And, you know, it's not like he spent a ton of time in this area. He was, like, pretty much in and out, flash in the pan. And you have that match with Dickinson, and fans responded huge to it. That was great. Great match.
And speaking of Dickinson, he's going to be involved, taking on Biff Busick. Everybody loves him on the internet. Big on Beyond Wrestling, part of the front in CZW, so that's a huge one. You're going to have Oh, go ahead.
That's another huge match. I want, matter of fact, I was talking to DJ last night, and I said to him, I was like, dude, Dickinson Busick, got to bring that to CZW, because I don't think they've had a one-on-one match yet. I know they're both stalwarts of Beyond Wrestling. I think they matched up in tag team action. But that's just a match you see on paper. You're like, fuck, yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, and then you have the Best Around, pretty much exclusive as a tag team to On Point Wrestling. And that says a lot when people are taking On Point exclusively. They're taking
Not
on the
an
Beaver
ounce
Boys.
Of ring rust.
Oh, no. And they're taking on the Beaver Boys. Alex Reynolds and John Silver.
They had a quarter of a match with the Colonel
Money.
On
Money
Saturday.
Right there.
Oh, yeah. Pinky Sanchez, Drew Blood, the final meeting. Oz Tyler, the continuing story of Oz as he develops, taking on Devin Moore. Just so much going on, Emil.
And if you're going to get a good match with Oz Tyler, Devin Moore is that guy. I mean, Devin Moore, he's had I've worked with him a lot in CZW, but a lot of times in Force One, a lot of the time in the creative process, we'd be like, you know what? We could probably put Devin against anybody and have a good match. And that was kind of our philosophy when putting a card together. Like, it wouldn't, like, we never really had Devin in a featured role, but we were like, Devin can have a good match with anybody on our roster, you know? So we would just, you know, kind of fill out the card and say, you know, why not put Devin against this guy? Oh, yeah, that would be good. Devin can get a crazy good match out of this guy. And I think with the, especially coming off Oz's match with Shane Strickland, which he put it all on the line, him and Dev is going to be crazy. That's going to be a good look for Oz. And not to be outdone, how about the return of Joker? I mean,
yeah, taking on Drastic. So, yeah, there's certainly a card filled with matches, first time encounters, returns. Dan, sum it up from a guy 200 miles away.
Sum it up for a guy 200 miles away. I'll sum it up like this. You have to find a way to get to a show. I can't think of a better way to start off the year in indie wrestling. For somebody who grew up in the area, who sees all these shows and watches all these cards that have come out the last few months, it kills them on the inside. So don't make a mistake like I have in the past. Get to the show. No matter how far you are, if you're listening to us, you're close enough. Get to the show.
And that will be Sports and More in Deptford, New Jersey. Emil, wrap it up.
Hey, man, for one thing, that's a beautiful venue. I've been there for a couple shows before. Really nice, really spacious. It's a good look that On Point is there. But like Dan said, like, if you're within driving distance, get to the show. If you're not, keep refreshing smartmarkvideo.com until it becomes available. I have super high hopes for this show. And On Point is one of those things, like, I spent time with local promoters of On Point Wrestling after a Maven Bentley show. Just talking shop, really, what they want to contribute, what they want to bring to the table. And I believe this was even before, no, this was the week after Dickinson and Summers. And I could see, like, the hunger in their eyes, really. Like, they really want to make a difference on the independent circuit. And if you're an independent wrestling organization, that's definitely the attitude that you have to have. You don't want to be the next. You don't want to be the next CCW. You don't want to be the East Coast PWG. You want to be the first On Point Wrestling, for example. And I think, and I know that's what they're trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish. And I have nothing but high hopes for them. And it isn't just me working for them. Me as a fan, if I wasn't in the business, I would see Trayvon Kingston and say, fuck, I got to get to that show. Just like Dan said, you know, like, they're doing big things, and I can only hope that success comes their way. That's pretty much all I can say about that. And you know what? Like, after Cage of Death being a thing and seeing the PWG cards from tonight and tomorrow, On Point coming up, what has been announced for January CCW, AJ Styles returning to the independent scene, like, man, indie wrestling could be so great in 2014. It's got so much potential. I mean, like, I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, man, we're starting out with On Point, you know, on the 4th. The week after CCW, they're bringing in Mexican talent. The week the month after, they're bringing in AJ Styles. Some other folks I've heard are making debuts and returns to CCW. I don't believe I'm of liberty to say, but definitely look out for that kind of stuff. The indies could really get turned on its head, even with, you know, all these stars being signed to WWE. And with that being said, Chris Hero being back on the scene, that's huge. Like, the indies, man, in 2014, that could, yeah, I mean, it could be, it could be ridiculous. And not just in this area, but PWG out on the East Coast, IWA Mid-South seems to have their faculties together in the Midwest. FIP keeps doing their thing down in Florida. Like PWX in the North, in the Carolina region, they have crazy shows. Like, just a bunch of different pockets in the nation are just doing their thing, and I hope it keeps up. And I would be remiss to mention my boys down at CWF Mid-Atlantic. They have some big stuff coming up in store. And that's one of the lesser-known companies around the nation. But CWF247.com, like, they just had Ultimate Survivor, hell of a show. They have Battlecade coming up next Saturday, which looks to be ridiculous. And, like, a lot of places around the nation are just doing their thing, and that's what I love about indie wrestling, because no matter where you are, what region you're in, you can find something that's going to appeal to you. And I'm just so excited for the independent scene in 2014. I can't wait to see what the rest of the year has in store, because that's just the first 2 months of indie wrestling in 2014. I cannot wait. Like, WrestleCon's going to be huge. I've heard some plans about that. And if those deals get finalized, it's going to be a huge deal. So I'm just excited. I'm, as you could probably tell, I'm just going on and on about how excited I am. Like, it's going to be so cool. So cool.
Sounds, like you said, very exciting. A good outlook for the independents is always good for everybody involved.
I think 2014 is going to be a much, much more productive and better year for the indie circuit.
It very well could be.
I mean, especially when you got guys like Chris Hero returning and AJ Styles coming back to CCW after how many years? Like, that's ridiculous. It's crazy. So crazy.
I agree with all the sentiments, but it's about that time to say goodbye for another great episode here of After Midnight. We are going to return After Midnight on the 18th of January, and we'll talk about that On Point show. We'll talk about the CZW show. Is there anything you guys wanted to add before we go to this wrap-up?
Does MLJ know about our new sponsor?
Oh, Emil.
I don't know.
Have, we do have a new sponsor. Just give me a minute. Let me cue it up here. Just hang tight.
This
we have
exciting.
A new sponsor. Yeah, we
That's
have a new
funny.
Sponsor for After Midnight.
Hi, I'm Dean Dixon, the host of HIAC Talk Radio. Are you sitting there listening to one of our many great podcasts? Does your hiney suddenly hurt from listening oh so long? Try Boudreaux's Butt Paste. Your crack is in good hands.
That's right, Boudreaux's Butt Paste for all your hiney needs. How do you feel about
it? You know what that sounded like? That sounded like an old school Saturday Night Live Leon Phelps thing. The ladies' man with the music
yes.
in the back and the soft voice. Man. That
I
was
my
bottle
of Glacier right here.
Yeah, so that's our new sponsor, Boudreaux's Butt Paste. Emil, thank you so much for your commentary on things. Once you joined, certainly good time. We did talk about Duck Dynasty. We did talk about Rob Ford, the embattled. And we talked about the return of Batista. I don't want to get into it now, but he will be returning in 2014 for WWE. Emil, so that's exciting for WWE.
God, and I cannot wait for Batista. Man, I am so souped for that.
I'm not sure if that's sarcasm.
No, it isn't. Every Monday night, I would sit here and watch Raw with my good friend Mook, and whenever Batista's music would hit, I would jump off of my chair and do the machine gun taunt in my living room because I love big freaking Dave Batista. Love him.
Awesome.
Not,
I'm glad we're not alone.
Not ironic at all.
Yeah, I'm glad we're not alone in that. But, Emil, where can the fine people follow you on social media?
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the same. Guapo, Emil J, GUAPOEMILJ. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the same. I keep them all the same now because it's easier that way.
Certainly is.
Find me. I'm ridiculous on all forms of social media, so a follow would be greatly appreciated and probably return back.
Unless you're a creep. Let's be honest. We don't like creeps.
I follow creeps. You know what? I'm as big a creep as the rest of them. So.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Sometimes sometimes you do get a little creepy on Twitter, but that's neither here nor there. Dan? Dan, where can the fine people follow you?
It took me back. You can follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83, at DanLaw83, and at ObeyPuckShow.
All right, and of course, ObeyPuckShow, that will be the next show on the network. That's coming up on Sunday, a special Sunday edition at 7 p.m. And of course...
Yeah, very good point. I'm sorry, I didn't know... Go ahead, Dean.
But, of course, you can follow me. I'm the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can also follow the official Twitter at HIAC Talk Radio. You can also Facebook.com/HIAC Talk Radio. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Just do a search for HIAC Talk Radio, and you'll find us right there on both Stitcher. Continue listening to that because it gives us unique glimpses into the listening habits of our audience. So continue using Stitcher. That's always appreciated as well. Make sure you vote in the Sellies. I'll tell you what, Chrissy Rivera turned things around, and she is now in the lead, and a somewhat decisive lead, late into the voting period. Of course, voting's open until Tuesday, Christmas Eve. Chrissy Rivera going up against the Reverend Bob Levy for the top interview of the year. I don't know. You never know. Maybe Bob will pull out. Yep. Maybe Bob will pull things out. But they're going to face off on the 15th on the flagship for a night of ultra-violent comedy. Chrissy Rivera and the Reverend Bob Levy will be our guests that night, and they're going to be on at the same time. God knows what's going to happen. It could be a train wreck. It could be beautiful radio. I'm not
sure. I might even call in to that. I might even call in.
It's, yes, that's going to be a unique episode, to say the least. But that being said, we'll be back here after midnight on the 18th. We have a lot more great things planned, so make sure you check all the social media links to find out what we're doing. The flagship will be back on Thursday this week as we award those Sellies, and we'll let you know if it's Chrissy Rivera or if it's Bob Levy. We'll let you know if it's Adam Cole or Matt Tremont for Independent Wrestler of the Year, and a lot more other there's 12 categories in total. But until then, I do want to say happy holidays, whatever you decide to do, that's none of my business, but have a good holiday season. And I'll tell you, it's been one heck of a show. What'd you want to say, Emil?
Man, I'm just happy to be here, man. Like, happy holidays to everybody. Hanukkah's already passed. Christmas is coming. Kwanzaa's coming. Chinese New Year's coming. Happy New Year to everybody, not just the Chinese folk. It's going to be great.
That's right, Emil. You're
just
very
keep
festive.
Enjoying wrestling. Enjoy wrestling. Enjoy life. Don't smoke crack like Rob Ford. You know, if you're a member of a widespread TV show, don't talk about how you hate the gays because you're going to get excommunicated from the program. But other than that, keep on doing what you're doing. Love life. It's great. That's all.
That's life, Emil. I'll talk to you very soon. We're going to be together at On Point. That's exciting. So that's life. Have a good one, guys.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it.
Filthy animal, and a happy new year.